Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Tune in to Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and practitioner who's helped thousands transform their lives. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff will lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Welcome to the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host. You're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast at 1510 AM WMEX Boston, heard live every first Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also tune into my show on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. To learn more and for a full station broadcast schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into our show this evening. Our topic is healing through the power of body-mind awareness. I just returned earlier this week from a month-long trip to Japan where I taught body-mind awareness, and also I teach healing workshops and perform healing sessions there. So I thought it would be most appropriate that I share information with you today on the topic of healing and just the power of body-mind awareness. That was my 17th trip to Japan because I've been going for a number of years now. And I really love the Japanese people. I love the culture, their methods of promoting wellness. And just in general, I'm excited to share the Eastern views with you. So I'm sure probably you've heard that Eastern and Western views of medicine can be quite different. And to me, it would be helpful if we started this evening just exploring the language of the body and how the body is said to speak the mind. And this is particularly in regard to symptoms and their meanings. So we will discuss, for example, what specific organs and parts of the body might mean if you should have symptoms or disease in those areas. And also what the language is or the message that these symptoms or diseases might speak to us. So it's believed that a message of a symptom or of a certain illness may be present to provide us with information, not just about our bodies, of course, but about our lives, or in Japan they would say about our soul and what we're here to learn here on the earth. And so that could include, by the way, addictions, allergies, chronic fatigue, diabetes, inflammation, but also cancer. So any wide range of diseases and illnesses can be included in regard to giving us a message. Now, in the East, particularly in Japan, the body is not seen as a machine, and that's more of a Western approach. It's rather considered to be an energy system. So understanding the body in an Eastern view is important. So I just want to begin by saying that in the Eastern view of the body, there are detailed flows of energy in the body. And you may have heard the term meridian. So the meridian is a flow of energy that is coming from organs, from and to other organs. So each organ itself has a flow of energy, again called a meridian. And this flow comes from the organ and goes back to it, and the meridians connect with other organ flows. So then disease is recognized as a blockage in the energies or the body's energy flow. So what's interesting in the body-mind interpretation is that the blockage as well as the wellness of the system will involve both the body and the mind. So again, it's not just a physical thing by itself, that the mind has incredible power and that the body is really speaking the mind. Now, the body itself, and I really love this Japanese metaphor, is considered a palace, and the heart is the emperor of the palace. Isn't that wonderful? So organs serve as lieutenants, and that's the way they would call it, like lieutenants to the heart. But the heart's the emperor, and the heart, you know, is running the show. So this view holds that a person is an energy system that is alive and changing all the time. Okay, so I'm going to repeat that because that's really, you know, key to their understanding. A person is an energy system that is alive and changing all the time. So it's believed then that your well-being, or what we're terming health, you know, in a Western view, your health, is greatly affected by your psychological and your emotional states. And the role of the mind, and of course of the emotions, because you've got, with the mind, you've got the mental and emotional aspects. And you've got the intellect, but you've also got the emotional aspect. So the mind and the emotions has a great effect on you physically. And it's as though each part of your body is really listening to your thoughts and your feelings all the time and responding through its wellness or, you know, we could say through its lack of wellness in the case of disease. So your mind is really vital then to your overall health. So that's the first step we've got to, you know, determine is the awareness that your mind is so vital to your overall health. Now, your body is considered through its symptoms then to create a type of language. And if you listen to and understand this language, it can help you to discover what's going on much deeper than just your body, what's actually going on in your soul or what's going on in your mind. And you can discover, you know, what might I be denying or what might I be avoiding in my life? So, you know, am I cutting myself off from my feelings? And then it shows up in a certain physical symptom. That would be an example. Now, this view also holds that what you do not bring forth or express, such as your emotions, can, in fact, get stuck in your body and create disease. And all of us, at some point, I think you could relate to the concept of having had a lump in your throat when you haven't allowed yourself to cry. And really, that's nothing other than stuck energy. So in general, any level of fear or I guess you could say resistance to, you know, to whatever's going on, that fear and resistance particularly will take a toll on the body as well. And excessive stress has a direct effect on the immune system. So the body is really considered then to be a great source of wisdom for us. And if you listen to it, meaning you really pay attention to your symptoms and what they're telling you, what their language is about, you can learn a great deal about yourself and your life. And certainly how you're responding not just to your body, of course, but also to your life. Now, we are responsible then for all that is going on in our bodies. You know, that's the question a lot of people have asked me. You know, if what you're talking about is true, are we responsible for what's going on? Or are we responsible for the illnesses that we manifest? Personally, I don't like to do anything or believe in anything that's sort of shaming or blaming. So that's not my, that's certainly not what I believe. But what I would tell you from an Eastern standpoint, we know that we can't be totally in control of our lives, right? Or that our life circumstances, we can't totally control our life circumstances. And of course, so it is with our bodies as well. Because there's certainly genetic factors and environmental factors in regard to our bodies and our health. So if your body becomes ill, the most important message that it's telling you, you've got to think of it this way, is that something is not in balance. Now, yes, you could have created the imbalance. Yes, genetic factors could have factored in. Or yes, environmental factors could have as well. So it's not just that you're doing it yourself, but in fact, you're a co-creator of what's going on. But you do have to own what might be happening that you might be creating if in fact you want to get well or you want to change it. So again, if your body becomes ill, the most important message that it's telling you is that something is not in balance. Now the illness then becomes an opportunity, and this is how they would say in Japan, it's an opportunity to wake up in some way and to wake up hopefully to a greater understanding about yourself and your life. So while we may not be able to control outer conditions, we can choose how we want to respond to our circumstances. And our attitude about life certainly has a great impact on our bodies and on our health as well. So we do want to look at our contribution. So for example, emotional and mental factors, what about those mentioned earlier? Well, they play a large role in our health because, you know, if you have intense sadness, and you are intensely sad for a long period of time, the sadness really becomes a toxin to your body, and it can definitely take a toll on your body. And I want to say, you know, sometimes, okay, we have a death in the family, and we certainly are intensely sad, and or we have a sadness that occurs in our lives. Let's say, you know, we lose our job or and our relationship ends and that type of thing. So, yeah, sadness, you know, you work it through. But some people stay in the state of sadness or they perpetuate a state of what even could be called a kind of state of victimhood. And this is where the sadness truly can eventually, if you do not release and let go and move through it, it can become toxin to your body. So you've certainly thought about the term heartbreak. You know, what is heartbreak when somebody says, well, her heart was broken, his heart was broken? In a certain kind of way, go back to the emperor of the palace, you know, your system breaks down when you have what would be called a broken heart. It's very easy to see how that affects the overall health. So we have to look at the words we use to describe our illnesses. You know, I tell people, because I have suffered in the past from allergies, and if I say my allergies, then I'm now acknowledging, you know, that I own them, you know, my allergies, rather than I'm bothered right now by allergies, then I don't feel as connected to them. So pay attention to your language, or sometimes people will say my bad back. And you want to look at the words my, like, are you identifying the issue as a part of you? The reason for that is that it is so much harder to let go of an issue, excuse me, if you claim ownership to it. Okay, so you want to pay attention. What are you claiming ownership to? So some of the attention to language and what it's telling you, let me think of a few more examples. Well, what if somebody says, I can't stomach it? Okay, I can't stomach it, meaning it's like saying I can't digest it. And perhaps when you say I can't stomach it, you're giving yourself a clue to something that could be going on. I had a client tell me that she constantly would have stomach cramps and feel, you know, really bad in her abdomen over some stressful stuff that was going on at work. So in a sense, her digestive system could not digest the negativity that was going on at work. Or if someone says it's a pain in my neck, you know, my shoulder is so stiff, or I have a stabbing pain in my back and so on, you just have to understand the role of your thoughts, your words, this is important, and just your emotions in regard to your health. Because when you understand this body, mind, and spirit integration, or this body, mind, spirit connection, you really can better understand how to promote your own physical and mental, emotional, spiritual healing and well-being. So another thing that's important to understand is that chronic negative mental and emotional states, that, like we said about the intense sadness, can cause enormous stress in your body. And according to most people who are energy medicine practitioners, and that is what I am, the thoughts and feelings that create the most disease are just what you would think they would be. One thought and feeling that creates disease is resentment. If I stay in a constant state of resentment, for example, I'm going to put a certain blockage or taxing on my physical self. So resentment, anger is another. We already said sadness. Guilt is another. Shame, fear, certainly anger or hate. Negativity in general. You know, all of these are energies or emotions that, in fact, tax the body. So your body is going to reflect your mind and your emotional state. And in illnesses, when we're talking about illnesses, they will have meanings in the same way that you could say a dream has a meaning. So you have a dream and you look at the symbolism of the dream. Well, you have to begin to look at the symbolism of your body. And we will do that on the show today because I want to share that with you as well as we go. But to begin to look at the overall symbolism of the body and its symptoms, it's really important that we understand that the body speaks to us through our symptoms. And your body is believed to reflect your subconscious mind. So, you know, your conscious mind is listening, for example, right now to the radio show, but subconsciously there could be other embedded feelings and states of thoughts and so on that are going on. So your body itself is believed to reflect what's in the subconscious mind, bringing to your attention through its symptoms what could be buried. And, you know, similar to how a dream brings forth information from our unconscious mind. So really, as we begin to explore these symptoms and, you know, what they might mean, we want to look at the part of the body that has manifested the symptom. So, okay, is it the heart, the lungs, or the kidneys, you know, some organ? Is it your arm, your leg, your foot? There is a symbolism for every single part of the body. And it really is fascinating when you begin to learn the symbolism. And it makes sense to you often when you've had a chronic, say, ailment, what might be going on with that particular ailment. And sometimes when people finally understand the reason they have it, they can then let it go. So we just have to look at the function of these different parts. You know, what's the function or role of that particular part of the body? So just to kind of look at the feet first, okay, so feet allow us to stand, right? So they are considered, in Japan, they would say, what is under your standing? So your understanding about life, your fundamental belief system, all of that is related to your feet, whereas the arms are allowing us to reach. So the arms are more about reaching. The hands are more about giving and receiving. You know, how does the individual purpose of the part of the body relate to what is going on in your life at this time? Or do you feel that it's hard to stand up for yourself or to stand up to someone? What if that's going on and then you have feet issues? Or are you able to reach out to other people? But, you know, you get the idea. So there are three overall parts of the body that are really important. And they are the bones, and we'll talk about what they mean in a moment, the muscles, which would be muscles, ligaments, and tendons, and then the fluids in the body. So again, the bones, the muscles, ligaments, and tendons, the second one, and then the third, the fluids. Now, in Japan, or in Eastern terms, it would be said that the bones reflect issues that deal with your soul or your spirit. Again, your soul or your spirit, the bones. The muscles, the ligaments, and the tendons reflect issues that deal with your mind. Okay, so what's going on with your mind? And the fluids in the body would symbolize issues of emotion. Okay, so fluids and emotion. Now, in addition, each side of the body, left and right, have symbolic meaning as well. So this really gets fascinating when you start to really learn the symbolism of your body. Because if the symptom appears on the left side of the body, now, the left side of the body reflects the feminine side of the person. And please keep in mind that each person has a masculine and feminine side, whether the person is a man or a woman. So we're not talking about men and women. Every person is the same. Every person, man or woman, their left side is their feminine side. So the left or feminine side of a person would reflect the part of us that deals with the ability to nurture ourselves, to trust our intuition, or you could say to be willing to feel our emotions or just to let ourselves be vulnerable. And we'll get to the right side in a moment. But I wanted to mention that when I perform a treatment on a person, I'm able to read the energy. And I've had this gift pretty much all my life, but definitely since I've been a practitioner for the last 17 years. So when I say feel the energy, sense the energy, I can sense in the area of the body that I'm working on or in the aura, what might be going on. Now, I found that images and impressions that come from the left side of the body often tend also to relate to the person's mother or mother issues or other females in that person's life, again, whether they're man or woman. And interestingly, an ailing left hip may have to do with that person feeling a need to carry the mother energy. Whether that's your literal mother and what's going on with her, even if she's deceased, you could still be carrying mother energy. Or it may indicate some unresolved mother issue, or again, an issue with the primary woman in the person's life. Now, the right side of the body, in contrast, will relate to the masculine principles in the person. For example, the world of work, or how the person is being in the world. So this would include feelings of power, and often issues of personal male relationships. And I found that the right side reflects relationship to the father and to other males in the person's life. So if, for example, a right foot is presenting a problem, you might consider the foot as symbolic of your standpoint or your foundation that you're standing on in life. So, you know, are you having difficulty taking a stand at work or in a relationship? Now, before we explore the parts of the body and their meanings, there are just a few key pointers that, you know, I want to mention. And you can always listen to the show once it's in the archives at Dream Visions. So, you know, I hope that you'll enjoy the material. And at some point, if you want to take notes, go back and listen to it again in the archives because it will be up, you know, fairly soon. But first you want to evaluate the symptom in regard to what specific part of the body may be affected. So, okay, is it the right or the left side of the body? And what ideas, you know, that might add that we just mentioned. Then decide what words are being used to describe the symptoms or the illness or the body's part. So, you know, is it a stiff neck that we said, or a bad area of the back, a painful, and even if it's a painful, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how painful? How would you describe the pain? Aching? Aching has a meaning, different than sharp pain. So you just look at, you know, what are the words that are being used, and then you evaluate what you were doing before you manifested the symptom. So if I get a headache, you know, what was I doing before the headache came on? Or what has helped in your mind, you know, what might have led to that particular symptom coming about? And you learn the meaning of your symptoms, the symbolism behind them, and that will help you not only to understand why they're there, but to release the symptoms as well, and then to address the deeper issues and needs that they represent, and of course, hopefully, ultimately, to heal. And you can certainly talk to your body, you can ask questions, and every cell contains incredible wisdom. So again, if your shoulder's aching, rather than to reject it or push it away, in Eastern methods, you would embrace it, you would bring it back more fully into your body. So, you know, you don't think about the pain, but rather about holding it, loving it, and so on, having compassion for yourself and for your body. And of course, this is symbolic and could, in fact, be literal. So it will be time for a break shortly, and I just want to let you know I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM WMEX Boston. And we'll be back soon for further tips on healing through body-mind awareness. So to call in during our second half of the show, the local number is 617-237-1234 or 866-338-9663. Thanks so much.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, International Life Coach and Energy Medicine Practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
J.T. Lewis is the big brother of Jesse Lewis, who died in Sandy Hook Elementary on December 14, 2012, while saving the lives of nine of his classmates. J.T. found comfort after Rwandan orphan genocide survivors reached out to him from their country to express their condolences and share their personal stories of tragedy and healing. Inspired by the love that was shown to him, JT started Newtown Helps Africa, a nonprofit organization that helps young people in Africa and beyond who've suffered personal tragedy and have shown resilience. He successfully sent one young Rwandan woman to college for 4 years and plans to do much more, all the while inspiring many young people around the world to turn hardship into an opportunity to make the world a better place. Link on to NewtownHelpsRwanda.org.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bovee on the Love by Intuition show, Sundays 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Sunday 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Tune in every first Sunday at 6 p.m. for maximum success, the Coach Bruce Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM WME Austin. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Our topic this evening is healing through body-mind awareness. You can call in during the show by calling the local number 617-237-1234 or toll-free 866-338-9663. Okay, so we were talking again about body-mind awareness, and I had mentioned that I took a trip to Japan. In fact, it was my 17th trip, and I teach body-mind awareness there. So in Japan, we say that all pain is a result of separation in some form, and I also wanted to add that as we're talking about the language of the body. So the antidote, then, is to embrace and include whatever part of the body is in pain. So to your aching shoulder, for example, you know, you would want to communicate, what are you trying to tell me? What do you need? Shoulders and hips, by the way, reflect what we are carrying in life. So if my right shoulder is sore or stiff, and we talked also about the difference between right and left, I would ask, am I carrying too much in regard to my work or a relationship? And therefore, symptoms allow you to get in touch with your inner feelings and, in turn, your thoughts. So really, it's just about being open to finding the symbolism in the story of your body. And this is so important because it is believed in Eastern medicine that your body, again, is an energy system, but it is also telling you a story. So it's like you become a detective. You know, what's your story telling you? So with that idea, then thoughts, feelings, attitudes, all of this will influence your body chemistry and also your state of wellness or illness. You know, it affects your healing. And your body is always giving you messages for your soul's growth. So, you know, how do we view illness then? So illness would be suggesting that there is a change, okay? There is a change in your energy system in some way. Now, a gift in any illness that occurs can be the awakening to a new understanding of yourself. Illness can also give you a new passage that you're going through in life. And illness becomes, as they would say in Japan, your spiritual teacher. And really, from all those perspectives, it's a tool for transformation. So, you know, it's not uncommon for my clients who come to me with cancer, for example, whether it's in the United States or Japan, doesn't really matter. They'll say that they finally discovered what matters in their lives, or they have gotten to the highest risk of vulnerability they've ever felt. And they finally had to let themselves, you know, be vulnerable and have a need or ask for help. You know, a lot of excessive caregivers, for example, when they become ill like that, they finally have to ask for help. So you see, it would be said that we meet ourselves in many ways in our lives, and one way is through our illness. So when your body creates illness, it's giving you a message. And again, you can ask yourself, why do I have this illness? Or what might be out of balance in my life? Or again, looking at the language, what do these symptoms mean? And what do I need to pay attention to in order to learn and to grow and basically to heal. Because for every physical condition that is created, it's believed there's a need for that physical condition, the understanding at some level of what it would represent. And, you know, you have to discover symbolically what that need is. And when you discover the need, often you can let the symptom go. Or in simple terms, you can then heal. But I need to add that sometimes healing involves the death of the physical self so that the soul may heal and move on to a new dimension. So if a person tries very hard to heal, they do everything they can, you know, they do chemotherapy, radiation, or they do different kinds of alternative care, or a combination of both. They do everything they can. They really want to heal, and healing of the physical body does not take place. In other words, they pass on. It is possible, it is believed, that the healing that was accomplished was mental, emotional, and spiritual rather than physical. And I have, you know, certainly I have seen this happen in my life where someone has passed on, but the illness itself took them through a spiritual, emotional, and mental healing. So again, in order to understand healing itself, we have to include all kinds of different possibilities for outcomes. You know, how does a person heal? So basically, you want to, again, accept and love your body back to health, love and appreciate your body. And chronic pain in any area of the body of any kind is saying, please pay attention to me. You know, understand what I'm telling you. I've gotten out of control because I need for you to understand me. You know, that's what that chronic pain is saying. So if we get into the body symbolism, we're going to cover in a few moments some basic ideas, and I'm going to share my body-mind symbolism teaching in its Japanese or its Eastern view. So major parts of the body first, and I'll mention some symbolic meanings of these parts, and you know, you can evaluate maybe a personal situation or issue you might be having as you add insight, you know, from what I'm telling you. So let's go ahead and start. We, you know, obviously parts of the body, the head itself is a center of perception. It's a center of communication, consciousness, and so on. But what a lot of people forget is your head is also a center of control. It connects your physical self with your higher spiritual awareness. So in Japan, they would say if you have recurrent migraines, for example, are you repressing your feelings? Or are there issues that you have of a need to be in control or a need to have power? Or maybe you're feeling powerless and out of control. Or do you feel a need to retreat into an inner world? Or is there something in your heart you're not allowing yourself to know or to allow from the heart to get into the mind? You know, so this would be some of the many reasons they would say you might experience migraines or bad headaches. You see, the mind itself is an integral part of the body-mind-spirit system, and messages are sent from the body and the soul, and they're received and interpreted by the mind and vice versa. So it's important to recognize the mind as a type of filter. This is one way to look at it. You know, the mind's a filter between the body and the soul. So, you know, what are you thinking? How are your thoughts contributing to your wellness? Or how are they detracting from it? This would be important. So allow your mind to become a clean and positive filter to your wellness. Now, part of the challenge is to silence any negative mental chatter also. Okay? So that's the mind. Now let's keep going. So we've got the mouth, and that's the entry point for nurturing and feeding. It's also a center for communication, whether it's positive or negative. And this part of the body, the mouth, has greatly to do with what we're taking in and also what we're speaking. So those would be areas to look at if you have mouth issues. The tongue is used for expression and speech, so that's its relationship to the body. Teeth are said to represent independence and communication. And if you think about it, the teeth can shut tight and form a barrier. So often, if there's teeth grinding, that kind of thing, the issue may have to do with boundaries or with stress. You know, you're so stressed out that you're grinding on things in your sleep. The jaw can reflect how we hold on to our words or our feelings. So if we have a stiff jaw, you know, we might be holding on too tightly, or grinding of teeth could indicate a holding on of emotion and tension. The nose itself reflects taking in breath, and of course taking in the oxygen or taking in breath is taking in life. Eyes are said to reflect our clearness of vision, and it's through our eyes that we see others and that we're seeing ourselves, because the eyes have been called the windows of the soul. Our ears give us the ability to listen carefully to others, but ear issues can also represent you might not be listening to your own needs. What about the neck? the neck connects the head and the heart. So the neck can be seen as a bridge. And I love that concept, that it's a bridge between thoughts and feelings, or the mind, and then the feeling of the heart. And issues of the neck might reflect rigidity. So if a person has a stiff neck, or perhaps some kind of resistance to looking at other views, so, you know, a stiff neck could mean that the head can't be turned from side to side, or that we might not be open to expressing feelings. The throat has many functions, allowing you to ingest food, but also to speak up for yourself. So if there's a throat issue, frequently you would be asked, you know, are you having difficulty speaking up? Are you swallowing your feelings? You know, or if you're coughing a lot, are you coughing to clear the throat or clear the way to expression? And remember, the throat manifests thyroid issues too. So thyroid issues would be seen as related to these kinds of throat issues we just mentioned. We mentioned shoulders before as a place where we carry burdens and responsibility, and they may become tense if we're not expressing our real needs, or think about it, if we're carrying too much. And shoulders can also reveal expressions of fear. So energy flows out from the shoulders into the arms for touching and hugging and just actions of all kinds. Arms symbolize your extending energy out into the world, and that energy is coming back in towards yourself. So arms are about giving and receiving and the action of doing. And stiff arms may indicate a resistance to doing or expressing something. Okay, so it's time for another break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM, WMEX, Boston. We'll be back soon for further tips on healing through body-mind awareness. Thank you for listening.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Invite the Kids for Love Project, an enrichment program, into your school, classroom, or wellness center. Kids for Love Project is focused on teaching kids unconditional love for self and others. The project is a journey into self-discovery. It consists of fun, creative tools to learn self-love, like I choose love, I am love, I stand in love, and utilizing one's energies with reconnective healing and tuning into one's intuition for inner guidance, plus connecting to our natural surroundings. Kids who hold love for self do not bully or harm others. Let's cultivate a kinder world that holds compassion for all. Teaching the power of love to our kids is the way. To learn more or to bring Kids for Love Project to your school, contact Deborah Beauvais, 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to our Kids for Love Project on Facebook.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Join the Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Come explore with us natural and healthy ways to achieve inner peace, happiness, and an ever-present state of well-being. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet.
When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. The power of a beautiful life is within you today. Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
The Dream Vision 7 Radio Network presents Kids for Love. It's a project, a mission, and a radio show. Come join Deborah Beauvais and her young co-hosts every second Sunday at 6 p.m. as we celebrate kids making a difference. We invite other kids to join in for the spirited conversation filled with creative ideas and possibilities to start their own mission. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world by getting inspired to help others in need. Kids for Love Project. Celebrating kids that empower others. That's every second Sunday at 6 p.m.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, and our topic this evening is healing through body-mind awareness. So we were talking before about the symbolism of the body, and we talked about parts of the body. And so now we've gone through the head, neck, throat, shoulders, arms, and now we're going to talk about the hands specifically. And what do these parts of the body symbolize, which will help you to understand illness itself and what you can do to heal? Well, your hands symbolize how you're participating and touching your world. Hands represent also how you're reaching out to other people, how you're giving and taking. Okay, so taking especially what you need and giving to others. So they really reflect the overall action of giving and receiving, what we're grasping in life and what we're holding on to. And I also should add something important, the elbows. Because a lot of people have elbow issues, and the elbows have to do with boundaries. Because if you stop and think about it, without your elbows, you couldn't bring something toward yourself, but you also couldn't push something away. So elbows, because they help you to bring toward and push away, those are considered to reflect issues related to boundaries. And your wrists, of course, reflect flexibility because they make your hands more flexible. So now what about the chest? The chest difficulties often have to do with, not only with emotion, but they have to do with the identity of yourself. You know, if somebody asks, who are you? Or something going on, you go, who, me, and you point to your chest. So the heart holds our deepest feelings about ourselves, and our identity is really housed here in the chest. What I find interesting is that your lungs are said to hold your unresolved grief. So if you're very, very sad, you can't quite resolve your sadness, your lungs are said to hold that. So issues of pneumonia, asthma, and so on are considered to reflect issues of grief. And breasts reflect issues of nurturing and caring. The abdomen is a place of intimacy and vulnerability. And this is true whether you're a man or a woman. And a place of strong emotions. Okay, so the abdomen, intimacy, vulnerability, strong emotion. The pelvis, it holds energy related to communication, survival, but interestingly also trust and relationship issues are related. The stomach, the intestines, the colon relate to our ability to digest and process our world and what's going on in our world. So if we have recurrent stomach, intestinal or colon issues, you would want to say, you know, is there a problem? Is there something in my life, I guess you could say, that's hard to digest? Okay, now I'm moving down the body here. The hips. The hips are a place of carrying of our burdens and our responsibilities. And when they're stiff, they can reflect a fear of movement. And I had mentioned earlier left hip mother stuff, right hip father stuff, or male-female stuff. The legs help us move forward into the world. You remember we said our feet give us a standing in the world? Well, the legs also, they help us move forward and help us stand in the world. They allow us to walk, to move, to stand up for ourselves. And they also give us stability and power. Now, in Eastern thought, I find it so interesting that thighs, your thighs, are said to hold parental issues. Again, left mother, right father, or any issues that are related to authority figures. Whether your grandparents raised you or didn't raise you, it doesn't really matter, just authorities in general. And as you might guess, you know, again, left by mother, right by father issues. What about the knees? The knees represent issues of surrender. So if you're having a hard time letting go of something in life or you need to surrender, often the knees will be involved and will flare up. And they can also reflect issues of humility, you know, because when we're humble, we can kneel down before something or someone. So humility, but also surrender. And bending the knees will allow you to release and express feelings, it's believed. I also know, and you do too, that the knees can become shock absorbers. So, you know, if there's a problem, is there too much that you're carrying around, whether it's stress or, you know, even the weight of your body, but also just stress in general. Now, ankles are very interesting to me because they are considered centers of emotion, and they hold all our weight, but when they are swollen, they could reflect feelings that aren't being expressed, and they could reflect that you're not feeling, for example, supported, or there's a lack of flexibility in your movement, you know, some kind of retained emotion. The feet, again, ground you, connect you to earth. They give you a standing in life, and they're also symbolic of your firmness, of your ideas and your principles of life. So what about joints in general? Joints allow the bones and muscles to bend and move, and they give us freedom of expression. And so when you have inflammation in the body, you know, what is inflaming you? Is there something in your life that's irritating you? And inflammation in the joints may indicate fear or resistance to movement or feeling in general. Stiffness in the joints could mean rigid thinking or just a lack of movement. And finally, the back is so important. What does it symbolize? Well, it's your support. It supports your whole frame. And there are four parts of the back that I want to mention that I think are key. So if you have a back issue, it depends on where the back is hurting. The top of the back, like right below the shoulders, the top of the back, it is believed that across the top of the back, that is the area of what's called your heartfelt feelings. And right under that area, so the upper mid-back, kind of behind the heart, if you think of it that way, believe it or not, that is considered the place where your anger is held or where you would be holding on to anger. And so if that area is sore or painful, or, you know, it might be that you're feeling the need to protect your heart or that you're holding some kind of unexpressed anger. What's also interesting is in Asian medicine, they say that the center of the back, directly behind the heart, is the soul's gate. So it's kind of, if you release anger, you're able to open your soul's gate. Of course, that means that forgiveness is powerful because you're no longer angry at someone and so on. The mid to lower back, right under that area, is the area where your fear is housed. So, you know, that mid to lower back, not the very lowest part, but the more mid to lower, you would want to look at, like, what am I afraid of? And of course, most of our fears are not conscious anyway, but, you know, what if I'm really true to myself and really thinking about it? Are there some fears that I have that I won't allow myself to feel? And what about that very, very low back area, the sciatica? This area is considered the place of survival issues. So when you have really low back issues, not only is it about support, which is what the back is about, but it's about the support in the area of survival. Am I going to make it? Now, for primary organs, I wanted to tell you a little bit about that. The major ones that come to mind, of course, are the heart. And the heart is a center of joy, compassion, but the heart is also a center of intelligence. And you know that my work is called Heart Living. And when I had a vision years ago, and you can go to my website, heartliving.com, and see my history of my work. 17 years ago, I started Heart Living. The whole concept of heart is not just about emotion, it's about intelligence. The heart is considered like a mini brain, and I explain a little bit of that in my work at my website. The lungs are the center of grief that I mentioned earlier, but also of openness and acceptance. So when I'm having a hard time being open or acceptant, I might have lung issues. The kidney is the center of fear. In fact, kidney stones are considered to be like, you know, frozen fears. But also it's a center of trust and respect. And the liver, interestingly, liver issues are considered to be related to anger, whether it's able to be expressed or not, but anger, and also motivation and responsibility. And finally, the pancreas is a center of control. Now, one more part of the body that's critical is the skin, because the skin is a filter. And I want you to think of it this way. It's a filter between your inner self and your outer world. And so often we detox through the skin. And when you have a skin issue in energy medicine, you could say, you know, what's under, or the person might say to you, what's under your skin? And that could cause you to have constant allergies or skin issues. So what about illnesses of the body? I'll probably be able to just discuss a few here in the amount of time that we have, but I wanted to mention some certain kinds of meanings. If you have an aching in an area of the body, they say that's related to a longing for something. Maybe you have a longing to be cared for. Addictions are considered a running from yourself, and they're often related to repressed or unexpressed anger. So again, that's what you'd want to look at if addiction is an issue. Are you running from yourself? Allergy, because I mentioned earlier that I have had allergies even since childhood. Allergies are said to be the concept that the world is not a friendly place. You know, my world's not friendly to me. Anemia, insufficient nurturing. Asthma, feeling stopped from engaging in life, which is your breath. Bladder, releasing of emotion. If you have calluses are said to be fears that are made solid. Now, we know that cancer is a weakening of the immune system, and some people would say, is there something eating away at you? Okay, I know that's an odd way to say it, but that's what it's said in energy medicine, is there an eating away? If a person is troubled with chronic fatigue or has chronic fatigue syndrome, they say that's usually a disconnection from nature, or a person's feeling like giving up. They're over, you know, like they've overspent themselves in regard to energy. Circulation issues have to do with flows in life. Diabetes, interesting, are considered to be an issue of taking in and accepting love. Gallbladder, issues of decision-making and planning. Inflammation, feelings of anger or fear inside. Let's see, numbness is a withdrawal of feeling. And paralysis, an inability to continue life the way it is or to continue in that way. Tumors are considered hardened thought forms, old hurts, ulcers are related to fears, and so on. So you get the idea. And so really, how can you heal? Well, first of all, pay attention to your thoughts and ideas with patience and change limiting thoughts into powerful ones. And think of your circumstances of your body as symbolic. What might they mean? And I'm hoping that with these ideas, you can use your mind to build your health and know that your mind is totally tied into your body and your health, and bring more positive thoughts and creative visualization into your life and therefore changing your body. So I hope this show has been helpful to you. And in closing, I'm going to thank you for listening to our show. I hope that you will check out my website, heartliving.com. I offer a series of programs here in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and you can go to the website, heartliving.com. I have a manifesting workshop, Saturday, Sunday workshop in October, actually right on Chesapeake Bay. So you can check it out at my Heart Living website. Also, my Heart Living Facebook, facebook.com/heartliving. And this seminar, Art of Manifesting, you'll find much information at the website about it, and that would be an opportunity for you to join other like-minded people. Thank you so much for listening to our show today. The Heart Living motto is to live your life with passion and purpose. I do wish you the very best, not only in life, but particularly, as mentioned today, in your healing. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM WMEX Boston. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Join us the first Sunday evening of every month at 7 p.m. to explore ways to live a more inspired and passionate life. Gain clarity, balance, and purpose as Cynthia guides you on an enlightening journey of personal transformation. For more information, find Cynthia at her website, heartliving.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/heartliving.